Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. God is good, and all the time. Psalm 100, verse 5, for the Lord is good. And as I like to say, when God blesses us, he's good. When he punishes us, come on, talk to me, he's good. When he answers our prayers, when he says no, he's good. The Lord cannot be anything but good. The Bible says in Psalm 145, verse 17, the Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. By the way, that's the way we ought to be. Psalm 106, verse 3, blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. In other words, there is no exception to God's goodness. There should be no exception to our righteousness or living like Jesus Christ. I'm delighted to be with you this evening. I welcome those of you also online, wherever you are. We thank God for the capability to reach the four corners of the world. One man stands in Chestertown and speaks, and people listen in various countries. We're grateful for that, and we ask God to continue to guide us and lead us, that we may make maximum use of this technology to take the gospel to the four corners of the world. So those of you online, thank you very much. Is anyone present now who is not a Seventh-day Adventist? Raise your hand. Sister Mary, God bless you. Thanks for coming again. I say that from this, my heart. Thank you so much. The Bible says, he that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. So we look for you, Sister Mary, all the way until Sabbath evening. I'm sure there's someone online who is not a Seventh-day Adventist. If I'm speaking to you, thank you very much for listening. And I hope God tells me something to tell you that will change your life. I want you to believe as you listen that I am speaking to you personally and not to thousands of people, because the gospel is a matter of personal salvation. Are you with me? Mind, Character, and Personality, Volume 2, page 423, paragraph 2. The gospel deals with individuals. And I love to stress this. I love to stress it. God made Adam and Eve at separate times. He did not make them together. When he made the coats of skins, he made two. One for each. Salvation is a personal matter. If you understand what I just said, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Our subject for this evening, public and private. What did I say? Public and private. What was our subject yesterday morning? From Genesis to Revelation. As always, let me trouble you by asking you to preserve reverence. You did an excellent job yesterday. Those of you online, also preserve reverence. I know you're at your homes, so it's a relaxed environment, as well it should be. But God is always God. Are you following me? And God is a holy God, and at all times deserves reverence. We give reverence to earthly leaders. Let us give reverence to God. So if you're not using one of these as a Bible, please make sure it does not ring. Let me check mine before you say, physician, heal thyself. All right, mine is turned off. Favor number two, while I'm speaking, pray for me and say, Lord, put your words in that man's mouth. How many of you prayed for me yesterday? Can I see your hand? Ah, thank you. When I say God bless you, it's a prayer I'm offering with my eyes open. And the prayer has three words, God bless you. And I'm not joking. So for those of you who prayed, God bless you. For those of you who've not yet prayed, please hurry up and give me a reason to say, God bless you. The reason I asked you to pray for me is based on Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 9, which says, Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. And I want to speak truly God's words. Favor number three, think as you listen. Isaiah 1:18, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 5, God says to us as he calls us to reason, If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, how then canst thou contend with the horses? What is God saying? If you cannot keep up with a man, how do you intend to keep up with a horse? He's calling upon us, use the common sense I have given you. Because God's religion has a major component of simple common sense. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this lovely day. Thank you for the chill in the air, because we have to be alive to feel chilly. So we thank you we can feel the cold. We thank you we can hear the message, dear God. And we thank you for freedom of worship that still exists in this blessed country and other countries represented by those listening. But above all, dear God, we thank you for the gift of your dear Son, Jesus Christ. As we bow before you, Father, if we've sinned against you, we ask you to forgive us, dear God. Calvary exists that you might forgive and be just in so doing. Dear God, I humble myself before you, and I ask you in the name of your Son, my Savior, speak through me, dear God. Grant me the humility of Jesus Christ, that I will do what the Spirit tells me to do. I will say what he tells me to say when he tells me to say it. Bless those whom you love so much in this building and online who are listening now. Reveal truth to them, dear God, in the power of simplicity. And let decisions be made to obey Christ. Bless this country. Bless every country represented by those listening. Remind the leaders, dear God, that righteousness exalteth a nation. If anyone listening to me has COVID-19, Father, in the name of your Son, the great physician, heal those persons, I pray. Bless all the little children who may be listening, boys and girls. Let them know, Father, that it pleases you when they give their lives to you. Now, dear God, we commit this service to your glory. I pray in Jesus' name. Let God's people say, amen, amen and amen. Go with me to Matthew chapter 5. Our subject, public and private. Matthew chapter 5, we'll read from verse 38. It's 7:13. I'll release you before 8 o'clock. And I want to make that a guaranteed promise, before 8 o'clock. Do you have Matthew chapter 5?
Yes.
All right, we have one brother who has it. Anybody else has it? Okay, let's read from verse 38 of Matthew 5, and I read from the King James Version of the Bible. If you have it, you may read with me. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, yet ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, finish that verse, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall what? Compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. What is Jesus saying? Jesus is telling us, as much as possible, live peaceably with everybody, which is what Paul tells us in Romans 12:21. We will get to that. In the days of Christ, a Roman soldier could compel a Jew to carry his baggage 1 mile. Jesus says, go two. A lot of families are broken up because someone is not willing to go the extra mile. Both people are right. And someone will not go the extra mile. Many accidents occur because I got to the intersection first. And you pulled off when you shouldn't, so I pull out. We have an accident because I was right. We must learn as children of God to go the extra mile to preserve peace. Abraham, when he and Lot had to separate, he gave Lot first choice. That's going the extra mile. Lot, you choose, even though that privilege rightfully belonged to Abraham. When Adam and Eve sinned, God could have said, come to me and make it right. But he didn't. He went the extra mile to the extent he became one of us. Can you say amen? To fix this conflict between God and his creation. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Christ is saying, do what's necessary to get along. When he sent out the disciples in Matthew chapter 10, he said to them in verse 16, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Let me digress slightly. Christ did not tell the wolves how to treat the sheep. Are you with me? He told the sheep, find a way to get along with the wolves. Whom do we have in this building tonight, sheep or wolves?
Sheep.
Come on. Sheep. We must get along with the unbeliever as much as possible. Unless if God's law is becomes the focus, then we ought to obey God rather than man. We must learn to get along with the government as far as possible until God's law is threatened. Jesus said, be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. He puts the burden on you and on me to get along with our satanic supervisor on the job. In other words, Christ is saying, in moments of stress, act like me. Act like me. When Christ stood before Pilate, in John 18, verse 36, he said, Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Christ is saying, the kingdom over which I am the ruler, we don't fight. It's difficult to swallow that because the carnal nature loves to fight. But we're called to be like Jesus, not like the carnal nature. We're not called to be like the first Adam. We're called to be like the last Adam, Jesus Christ. Now, let's stay in Matthew 5. Let's go down to verse 43. Our subject, public and private. Let me pray again. Holy Father in heaven, as I make this attempt to speak for you, enable me, I pray, through an infilling of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, I appeal to you. Amen. Matthew 5:43, ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, what? Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father. Come on. You're in heaven. That's how a child of God behaves. You curse me, I bless you. Let's read that verse again. You're looking at me as though I'm reading a different book from the one you have. Matthew 5, verse 43. If you have my version, read it with me. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you what? Love your enemies. Come on. Bless them that what curse you. Do good to them that hate you and pray for them which despitefully use you. Around us, we take it. Because it takes two hands to clap. You didn't get what I just said? You can't clap with one hand, you see. It takes two to have a quarrel. Jesus said, don't contribute. There's a heavenly principle that the police, the forces use. A soft answer, come on. Now, if someone is held hostage and a hostage negotiator goes to talk to the criminal, he does not shout. Am I talking to myself? Are you listening to me? He does not shout, let them go, or I'll blow your hair off. He doesn't do that, because that will what? Exacerbate. He talks softly. He tries to find out his name. What's his name? Your name is Randy. Okay, Randy, John, Paul, whomever, Nebuchadnezzar. Don't do that. He's soft. It works, because a soft answer turneth away wrath. Many years ago, I studied martial arts. I was quite good at it too. But don't let that intimidate you. I don't use it when I make appeals. The thing that I loved most about the martial art was not the fighting and the kicks. No, it was stay calm. Stay calm. At all times, stay calm, because the one who's calm has the advantage. If you're calm, the hostile person will eventually calm down. If you respond aggressively, then aggression and aggression is aggression squared. Jesus said, bless them that curse you. Do good to them that despitefully use you, and pray for them. So when the public treats us badly, we must respond with good. Are you following me? Let's go to Romans 12. Our subject, public and private. Romans 12, we'll read from verse 19, I believe it is. 19, yes. Do you have that? Romans 12, written by the Apostle Paul, reading from verse 19. What does that verse say? Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Stop. Read that quietly to yourselves. Vengeance is mine. You know why? Only God can read this. We cannot fully understand why people do to us what they do. We cannot read the heart accurately. God can. And so God says, vengeance is mine. I will repay, because God can accurately determine what degree of response that person deserves. We cannot do that. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay. Now, let's keep reading. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Read verse 21 for me now, nice and loud. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Let's look at that principle. That was spoken by Christ. Listen again. Most Christians don't follow it, that's my guess. Be not overcome of evil. Overcome evil with good. Look at verse 20. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. Someone has done you something bad, do something good. If he thirst, give him drink. Do not respond in kind. But all of that behavior, wicked people do wicked things. It is natural to them. So that's public. Listen to verse 21 of Romans 12 again. Say it for me. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, what's the subject of tonight's message? Come on, come on, come on. Public and private. Let's drop the public for a minute, okay? Let's forget the evil people who do us bad. Listen to me carefully. Be not overcome of evil. Question for you. If no one ever does us anything wrong, is there an evil we need to overcome? Talk to me. In here. What's our subject? Public? Mm-hmm. Let's get to the private now. There's an evil in us, and the Bible says it ought to be overcome how? With good. Does that mean? Well, let's see what that means. We must overcome. You see, the evil that is worse is not what people do to us. It is the fact that there is none righteous, nor not one. Are you not with me? My fault. Maybe I'm standing too far from you. Perhaps I'll talk from there tomorrow night. I'll reach you more effectively. Listen to me carefully. My friends online. If someone robs you of the store, steals your car, yes, that's evil. That's not what takes you to hell. Someone takes away your boyfriend twice. That's not what takes you to hell. Someone in the church talks badly about you because that person wanted a head deaconship position. That's not what takes you to hell. It is not the evil people do to us that endangers our salvation. It is the evil within. But both must be dealt with the same way. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Now we have dispensed with the public kind of evil that's done to us. We're looking at the evil we do to ourselves by sin. Jesus says, overcome that with good. But let's look at this good. Let's go to Romans 3. Our subject, public and private. Romans 3. Is 7:25. We read from verse 10 of Romans 3. I'll pray again, Father, as I continue. Let your spirit restrain me, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you have Romans chapter 3?
Yes.
From verse 10. What does that say? As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They are all to what? Gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. Finish verse 12. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Stop. What did Jesus say about handling evil? It must be overcome with what? With good. What did Paul just say? Verse 12. There is none that doeth good. Let's try to fix this problem. Go with me to Galatians 5. Let's read verse 22 and 23. Verses 22 and 23 are subject, public and private. Are you there? But the fruit of the Spirit is, read with me, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Now, do we have goodness in that list?
Yes.
Yes. Where does it come from? Look at verse 22. That it is a fruit, come on, of the Spirit. How are we born? We're looking at the gifts of the Spirit, but how are we born? Someone said, without the Spirit, you're right. We're carnal. Let's look at that. Go to verse 19 of Galatians 5. When I ask you a question, I want you to answer me, or I'll keep asking you until you change your behavior. Galatians 5. Do you have that? All right. Let's read from verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Stop. Those are the works of the flesh. Are you with me? Now let's read what we just read, verse 22, 23, read with me. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Stop. How many lists do we have as it occurs in that chapter? 19, come on,
20.
To 21. Where do we have the second list? 22 and 23. Now, what do you notice about those two lists? Give me one word that describes them. Opposites. Opposites. Flesh and spirit. Absolutely. Now, Jesus said, Be not overcome of evil, but finish the verse. Overcome. All right, let's look at the carnal nature now. Let's see. Let's try to find some goodness. Let's look at that list again. We're looking for goodness. Verse 19. Come on, read with me. But the works of the flesh are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Do we have anything? Is any one of those things a good thing? Yes or no? No. Till Christ changes us.
Amen.
We're born that way. Not doing all of them, but having the capacity to do them. We're born, the Bible says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to what? The law of God. Which means it is against the law of God, the carnal mind. But listen to verses 22 and 23 again, our subject, public and private. Read with me, but there is no law. Is there a law against 19 to 21? Yes. Is there a law in favor of 22 and 23? Yes. Listen to Romans 8. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God. What is it subject to? Verse 19 to 21. Now, we have to overcome 19 through 21 with what? 22 to 23.
Mm-hmm.
Are you looking at me as though I need medication? Come on. Are you with me?
Yes.
We must overcome 19 to 21 with 22 to 23. Mm-hmm. But we have seen that there's no goodness in our flesh. We saw in Romans 3, verse 12, there's none that doeth good. Listen to Paul, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth, come on, talk to me, no good thing. But Jesus said, you've got to overcome evil with good. Where's the source of that goodness? Let's find out. Go to Romans chapter 2. Our subject, public and private. Am I going too quickly? If I am, just say slow down. I have a tendency to go quickly. So please, if you love me a little bit, just say, preacher, slow down. Are you at Romans 2? Let's read verse 4. Are you there? Read with me if you have my version. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and what? Forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. How often have we seen the word goodness in that verse? Come on, look closely. How many times is the word goodness in that verse? Twice. Let's read it again. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering? God, goodness is a natural quality of God. Let's go to Exodus 34. He wanted to see God's brightness. God will show him his character. That's what we need to see. God shines brightness in his character. Exodus 34 from verse 5. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed the Lord God, read with me now, merciful and gracious, come on, long-suffering, abundant in what? Goodness and truth. God is abundant in goodness. We read in Romans 2 verse 4, the riches of his goodness. What did Jesus say? How should we overcome evil?
With good.
Do we have any good, yes or no?
No.
Come on, say no loudly. Do we have any goodness in us? No. But we have to overcome evil with good. Where can we get that goodness? Jesus. Jesus. Let me show you where goodness is again. Go to Romans 7, another source of goodness, which is really the same thing. Romans 7, let's read verse 12. Our subject, public and private. Do you have Romans 7? We're taking you from Exodus to Romans. Romans 7, verse 12. Read that for me, my version. What does that say? Wherefore, the law is holy, and the commandment holy, just, and good. righteousness of Christ. Listen to me again. The law of God is good. That is why when God converts a man or a woman, he takes the law and writes it where?
On the heart.
Where is the evil? Where's the evil? Come on, where's the evil? Now, what does God do? To get rid of the evil. You see, evil and good cannot occupy the same space. Amen. Listen to me carefully. Evil and good cannot occupy the same space at the same time. That's why Jesus says, a good tree bringeth forth what?
Good fruit.
It can't bring good and bad. And so he writes the law here. By placing the law in the heart, what goes out?
Good.
When the law goes in, you're right, but that's not what I want. Okay, let's look at it this way. Before Christ comes to you, what's in the heart?
Evil.
When he puts the law in, what goes out?
Good.
The evil. Let me show you what I mean. Go to Malachi 2. It's 23 minutes to 8. When did I say I'd let you go? Was I serious when I said that?
No.
No. All right, Malachi chapter 2. Let's read verse 6. Now, I want you to concentrate on that verse. Put your mind to it. Let the Holy Spirit help you. Are you there? Read with me. The law of
truth
was where? Keep reading. An iniquity was not found. Okay. Let's look at that closely. The law of truth was where?
In his mouth.
Because of that, iniquity was not found in his lips. Mouth and lips, same thing. When the law, then the mouth is full of the law, there will not be iniquity be found in that mouth.
Amen.
If I had a glass, just imagine this is a glass. And it's full. Now, that's why Jesus says, thou shalt love the law of thy God, how with?
With all thy heart.
To the brim. With all thy soul to the brim. With all thy might to the brim. With all thy strength to the brim. With all thy understanding to the brim. So that the devil has no room to get his stuff in.
Amen.
But we love God half when the glasses are full. And the devil says, oh, there's a room, there's a vacancy. Let me occupy it. That lies within. And we must overcome that with the goodness of Christ, which is his righteousness. And Christ's righteousness is Christ himself within. Now, having said that, go to John 15. Let's read from verse 4. Well, from verse 1. Our subject, public and private, make you curse. No one can make you fight. You can't wear, he bothered me, so I cursed. Mm-mm. No, 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 no. You chose to curse.
What did you say, John?
John chapter, what did I say?
15.
Mm-hmm. When the goodness of God, the righteousness of God is within, that is the power that controls your speech, your thinking, your behavior, and mine. John 15, reading from verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. By the way, it is God that cleanses the church. The Father. Are you following me? It is the Father that cleanses the church. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Verse 4. Abide in me and I in you. Pause. It has to work that way. You give yourself to Christ. You in Christ, Christ in you. How that works, don't ask me. But it works. I don't know how I breathe at night when I make no conscious decision to breathe. I don't know. but I'm glad it works. Are you following me? I'm just glad it works. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Remember the fruits we saw in Galatians 5, 22, 23? What were they? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. As the branch cannot bear those things of itself, except it abide in me. And one of those things is goodness. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. Now notice what he says in verse 1. I am the what? Ah, the true vine. Ah, listen carefully. What does that tell you? If one is true, the one is false. Go to John 6. John 6, who has it? Who's the quickest person in this church? Who has it? John 6, verse 32. Yes, my lovely sister. Verse 32 of John 6. Then Jesus said unto them, what? Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the... Ah. Which is this. Now, if Moses gave the true bread, what does that tell you? Come on, come on, you're too slow. If there's a true bread, talk to me. There's a false bread. Go to John 17. You know this verse very well, verse 3 of John 17. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, come on, the only true God. What does that tell you? There's a false God. You see, whenever God has something, the devil has something to match it. And the devil's version is never far from God's version. And so Jesus says, I am the true vine. And my Father is the husbandman. Now let's go to verse 4. Abide in me. In other words, abide in what? Read verse 4 in the light of verse 1. And tell me what you're abiding in. Abide in me. What's that?
Abide in the word.
True, but that's not what I want. Look at verse 1. What does Jesus say of himself? Right now. Read verse 4 again. Abide in me. Where are you abiding? Which is what? The true vine. Stay in me. The Greek word abide means is meno, which means to stay, to remain, to continue, be consistent. A stay, don't visit. A lot of Christians visit Jesus on Sunday and Sabbath. We visit. Abide in me, and I in you. Because if you allow me, I will stay. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, verse 5. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, stay. That is the challenge for the Christian. Amen. To overcome evil. The same bringeth forth much fruit. If you just visit, you bring forth nothing. Amen. Now, look at verse 7. Read with me. If what? If ye abide in me, come on, and my words abide in you. You see, that's the same thing as Christ in you, the word in you. He's the word. He's the word. You look at me strangely. So he says, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified. As we talk about overcoming evil, not the evil people do to us, but the evil that's within us. You know, that evil that leads to a suicidal kind of life. And a suicidal life is a life in which Christ is not at the controls. Let me come in, says Jesus. I want to stay. You come to me, and you stay in me. And if you stay in me, we will overcome that evil. Your temper will change. My thinking will change. My Christ we have overcome evil. Because as I said, the worst evil is not what people do to us. It is what we do to ourselves by not staying surrendered to Jesus Christ. My brothers and sisters, public and private. Ellen White writes, we have more to fear from within than without. This applies tonight. Our greatest danger is not what people do to us. It is what we do to ourselves. And so tonight, I appeal to you as your brother in Christ. Abide in your Savior. There's room at the cross for one more. And that room is for you. Not your spouse. You. And Christ is waiting tonight. We saw there's a true vine, a false vine. True God. True bread, false bread. Listen to John 14:27. Just listen. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth. Because there's a peace the world can give you. I have a job. I have a 401k. I have whatever. I have, everything is fine. Medical insurance, dental, psychological. Everything is in place. I have peace. Until one of them collapses. And then the peace goes with it. But the peace Christ will give you is the peace that allows you to sleep on a boat when what is going on? A storm. The peace of God is not affected by worldly circumstances. Great peace have they which love thy law, and come on, tell me, nothing shall offend them. That's no joke. When you're truly a child of God, people will marvel, how are you so calm with all that's going on? Because I have the peace. And that peace is only possible when there is no condemnation upon us. There's therefore a great peace out there which love thy law, thou will keep him perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee. There's a peace. Life, his life was a righteous life. And so I call upon you in the name of Jesus. Consciously, deliberately, as a personal action, recommit your life to Christ. Amen. You simply say, Father, I recommit my life to you. Let Christ dwell in me anew and overcome the evil that is that carnal nature. This has to be done every day. Why? The carnal nature does not die. Its reign ends. Its rulership ends. It does not die. It will only die when this mortal, come on, puts on immortality. That's why Paul says in Romans 5:17, the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other. That battle goes on, but we win in the name of Jesus. Why? Because we fight in his power. Goliath had a sword, a staff, armor bearer. David came in the name of Jesus. Are you following me? We have Goliaths in us. We need to come in the name of Jesus. Thus saith the Lord with me. Public and private. Our problem is not the public harassment. It is the private within. We must overcome that with good, and that goodness is the life of Christ. How does that life come into us? By the living word. Why do I call it the living word? The Bible says, and God said, let the earth bring forth deliverance. Genesis 1:20, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life by the word of God. How did God raise Lazarus? Lazarus, come forth by the word. How will he raise the righteous dead when he comes back? But the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, or with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise. If I fail, you come before me, God, or after me, and simplify it for your sons and daughters whom you love in this building and online. Dear God, help us to understand our greater danger is not the evil people do to us, but the evil that is within us. But whether it's public or private, dear God, it must be overcome with good. And goodness is a quality of yours, Father. It's a gift of the Spirit, Father. It is a characteristic of Jesus. It is a divine quality. It must be given to us from outside and placed within. In the person of Christ, represented by his Spirit-filled word, as we leave tonight, dear God, let us leave knowing that the power to remain calm under pressure is the very presence of Christ within us. As he dwells in us, God, he will deliver into us this hatred for sin and this love for right doing, even in the face of death, like Paul and Stephen and Jesus Christ himself. Bless everyone who heard this message, dear God. Please bless them. Put a double blessing on their children, Father. And may these words draw them closer to your bosom. Save us when you come, dear God. In Jesus' name I pray. Let God's people say, amen and amen. God bless you.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.